You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in their faith. And Gen Z, we are in part two of a series on love. We are talking about what is love and how do you practice it. And on the last show, we talked about how all kinds of people have all kinds of ways that they talk about love. You could use love from something like saying, I love you as my girlfriend, my fiance, or my wife. Or you could say, I love basketball. Now, those are two different kinds of love, right? The kind of love you have for a person and even your spouse should be way different than the kind of love you have for other people or for certain hobbies. And so I wanted to do a deep dive as we study love because I think our culture just simply says love is love. Like love is a feeling, like love is something that you can express however you feel on any given day. But that's not true according to the Bible. The Bible teaches that God is love. And if God is love, then he defines love and he's the authority over love and he teaches us how to love in ways that he wants us to. And that's why we're looking at the chapter on love in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to be studying in this series how love is superior to every other spiritual gift. Right in the context of spiritual gifts, of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. In the middle is chapter 13, the love chapter, where he's basically saying that love is better than any spiritual gift. And so in verses 1 through 3, we're looking at today seven ways that love is superior. Number one, love is superior because love is better than the tongues of men. And we ended here last week talking about how tongues, speaking in tongues in the New Testament, was actually speaking in a real language. And it had a point and a purpose, and that was to bring authenticity to the message and the messenger of the one who was preaching the gospel. Anybody who's speaking in tongues was speaking in a real language where they were instantly able to share the gospel truth with other people without even studying that language. In other words, it's miraculous. And when God gets your attention by someone speaking in a language, and the people in Acts 2 were like, how can these men do this? They're from Galilee. In other words, they're from a rural area and they should be farmers and fishermen, and yet they're speaking in our dialect in a real language about the mighty acts of love. And what I'm trying to say to you today is that while tongues were an intricate part of the early church, they were never rated over agape love. And that's why Paul says in the very next chapter in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18 and 19, Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Do you hear what he's saying? I'd rather speak 5 simple words and instruct you in the right way than to speak 10,000 words in a tongue. So I'm just asking you, what's more important, to have the kind of love God wants you to have or to speak in a tongue? Now, speaking in tongues is important, but what we're saying is love is better than the tongues of men. Well, not only that, but I think we could also say here that love is better than the tongues of angels. So if Paul is speaking in the tongues or the languages of men and of angels, what is he saying? Well, I'd like to just say to you, young man, I believe that this part of the verse is talking about something that's hypothetical. While we know that people in the first century spoke in tongues, real languages, there is no record in the Bible of angels ever having a special language in which they communicate. So what I'm saying to you here is that this is a hypothetical reference talking about if I were to speak in the tongues of men, which he did, but if I were to speak in the tongues even of angels. Again, we're saying there's no example in the Bible of angels ever speaking in any other tongue other than the vernacular. So there is no such thing, I'm saying to you, as an angelic language or an angelic tongue. tongue. But if there was such a thing, and if Paul could speak in this hypothetical language, but he wasn't doing it with the agape intent, then he would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, right? Because he says, if I were to do it, speak in the tongues of men or speak in the tongues of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, this gong would have been made out of metal, such as copper or brass or bronze. And a gong would have been used to call workers to dinner in a palace or to awaken workers in the morning to announce the day's work. I'm saying that a gong had a purpose. A gong was meant to communicate something. And when a gong was used in this context, it could be a great tool for good. But if you struck the gong for no rhyme or reason, then it would only cause confusion or frustration, similar to pulling a fire alarm where there is no fire. So you can only cry wolf so many times, right? So when you do the gong, it was meant to communicate something, just like my mom used to ring a little bell whenever dinner was ready. I don't know why she did that, but she did, man. She had a bell, she would ring it, and the kids would come running for dinner. So the gong was to communicate there's a purpose here of something's about to happen. Now, a cymbal, you probably know, is not just a big chunk of metal that you hit, but it's a musical instrument. And usually two cymbals are used to clash together in order to bring about a climax of a crescendo announcing a high point of a song. But a cymbal is not to be used or played in an improper way because it could be extremely disruptive and even cause one to cover their ears so as not to hear a poorly timed crash. You know, I mean, when we've been to different symphonies, which has been pretty rare for my family, we're more of the sports type than the music type, but we have been to a few. And whenever they play the cymbals, my little kids would always cover their ears. Like, that's just a very loud clash. So what's the point? What's the point here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1? Well, the point here is that gongs and cymbals have their places, but if not used properly, they are noisy and clangy and a massively aggravation to the human ear. It's better to have genuine, selfless, serving love than to have an outward sound of righteousness, but not possessing the real substance of love. Did you get that? If you're advertising that you're speaking in tongues of men and angels, and you know, what you're advertising is, I'm representing God and I'm trying to love you the way God wants me to, but if you're doing those things, the tongues of men and angels, but you don't have love, then you're being annoying. You're not being genuine. You're being noisy. You're being clingy. You're being massively aggravating, because the point was, again, genuine, selfless, serving love is far more important than some outward sound of Christianity or of righteousness, but it's not possessing the true substance of love. So what are we looking at? Love is superior. Love is superior to the tongues of men. Love is superior to the tongues of angels. And then third, love is superior because it's better than prophecy. Verse 2, and if I have prophetic powers, so we'll just stop right there. Love is better than prophecy. In the beginning of chapter 14, Paul speaks of prophecy as the greatest of all the spiritual gifts. And the reason for this is that a prophet proclaims God's truth to God's people. And without the truth, then God's people would perish. Without the truth, God's people would be in error. So as Christians, we should have the highest regard for the office of prophet and the gift of prophecy. In fact, in the New Testament, the prophets both foretold the future and proclaimed the truth. Now, I believe the first aspect of this prophetic gift has passed away, but the proclamation of truth continues. So I'm saying foretelling the future, that part of prophecy has passed away, but forthtelling, meaning Preaching the truth, that part of the prophetic gift, is still here. The proclamation of truth continues today, I believe, through the office of the pastor teacher who has the responsibility to preach the word in season and out of season. And so what we need to understand, though, here in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, if you have this gift of prophetic powers, and if you understand all mysteries and knowledge and have faith as so as to remove mountains, but have not love, you're nothing. So in other words, if you have this gift of prophecy, and if you're the best preacher the world has ever known, but if you do not have love, verse 2 says, you're nothing. So love is better. Love is better than spiritual gifts. It's better than prophecy, and love is better than knowledge. That's the fourth thing that love is better than. Love is better than knowledge. Again, in verse 2, if I have prophetic powers, understand all mysteries and all knowledge. So the gift of knowledge in this verse, I believe, is referring to a spiritual gift. It would have been having something revealed to you miraculously by the Holy Spirit in a way that cannot be explained by any human construct or guessing. This gift of knowledge was to understand mysteries and to know all things is, without a doubt, I think this is a statement of hyperbole. I mean, no human being can, as Paul writes here in verse 2, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, right? Only God is omniscient. Only God knows all things. Only God has all wisdom and all of this information. And so I think that what Paul is doing here is using a hyperbole, and he's saying, look, even if I had every prophetic power, and even if I could understand all mysteries and knowledge, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Now don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to continue to examine how love is greater than all spiritual gifts.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. You know, every single day, men in this country are being told what they can't be. They can't be strong. They can't lead. They can't stand firm. Now, well, what if instead of tearing men down, we built them up with truth? That's what we're doing here with Way of Manhood, and that's why Fortis Plus exists. It's free, obviously. We tell you all the time how free it is. It's absolutely free, and it's packed with biblical content that will help you grow hundreds of hours of teaching, with new posts being added every single day. And it's biblical, and it's real help when you need it. There's no noise or fillers in there, just real biblical straight answers from God's Word. Fortis Plus is possible because of something much bigger, our gospel partners. They're the ones who say, you know what, I want to put biblical truth within reach of people I may never even meet. When you become a gospel partner, you're investing in lives. You're multiplying your impact, making it possible for thousands of men and women around the world to access content at no cost. And quickly, let me say one other thing as well while I've got you. Some of you listening right now are at a different time and place in your life. Maybe you're thinking about college, or you have kids who are, and you want more than a degree. You want training that shapes their hearts as much as their minds. That's the Master's University. That's exactly where TMU comes in. They are committed to raising up graduates who are both skilled and anchored in God's Word. Men and women who know how to lead and how to serve and how to stand. So wherever you are right now, whether you're using Fortis Plus, whether you're interested in stepping up as a gospel partner, or pointing the next generation to a place like TMU, there's one common thread, and that is the truth of God's Word is enough, and it changes lives. Now, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson here on Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we're in the middle of a series on love. We want to understand love biblically, and we want to understand love from the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where in verses 1 through 3, we see seven things that explain how love is better than spiritual gifts. Love is better than the tongues of men. Love is better than the tongues of angels. Love is better than all prophecy. And then we were just wrapping up before the break that love is better than understanding mysteries and all knowledge. Because what we're saying here is that love is better than even if you had all knowledge, which I think here is a hyperbole, because only God has all wisdom and all knowledge, as David describes this knowledge of God in Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. So again, knowledge is high and holy, and it belongs to God. And what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 13 is that even if I had all mysteries, and even if I had all knowledge, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. Even if Paul did know all things, and rest assured, he does not, but if he did, he did not have love. If he didn't have this kind of love, is what he's saying, then he's nothing. Right? If you do all these things without love, you're nothing. So again, here in verse 2, we see that love is better than prophetic powers. Love is greater than understanding all mysteries and having all knowledge. And then number 5, the fifth thing that love is better than is love is better than faith. Love is better than faith. That's the end of verse 2. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. So the faith that is referred to here is not necessarily saving faith. It's that kind of faith, rather, that Christians are to have in God, that he is able to bring about radical changes in people's lives, like the kind of faith that moves mountains. This is the kind of faith that can break strongholds. This is the kind of faith that can free a person from their bondage to sin. This is the kind of faith that can move mountains. And so faith is also an important gift. It's more than just optimism, it's complete dependence and trust for God to do the right thing for his own glory. And you may remember the time that there was a father who brought his son to the disciples to cast out a demon. And even though they tried, they could not. And so they asked Jesus, why couldn't they cast the demon out? And his response was in Matthew 17, in verse 17 and following, Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? You remember what Jesus said? He said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So Jesus's point was that by trusting in him completely, nothing in their ministry would be impossible. And similarly, Paul's point was that even if you had all this faith and were able to do miracles and move mountains and God's strength, but if you did not have love, it all amounts to nothing. So again, we see here that great faith without love is nothing. The sixth thing that love is better than is that love is better than extreme generosity. So now we're on verse 3. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Here's an example of incredible giving. I mean, he said, if I give all that I have, I mean, it's one thing for you to put down a tithe and that you give to church. We talk about giving our tithes and offering. And a tithe generally is thought of as being 10%. And if you were to give 10% of your income to the Lord, that's pretty generous, right? And it's another thing to go on top of that, that you support a missionary or two. So some people might be giving 20% of their income. I remember I had a guy challenge me when I was a young physician's assistant making a pretty good salary. An older guy came up to me and said, I'm challenging you to give 50%. 50% of all that you have, you should be willing to give it to the Lord. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money, right? But to give away all that you have, who does that? I mean, extreme generosity does not equal love. Even if you gave all that you had, but if you did not have love, you gain absolutely nothing. And that leads us to our seventh and final thing in verses 1-3 that love is better than. Number 7, love is better than ultimate sacrifice. Because verse 3 says, not only are you talking about giving away all that you have, all of your resources, all of your money, but it says, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So love, number 7, is better than the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, this is now the ultimate gift, to give up your life. And in this instance, to be burned at the stake, presumably because of your love for another, would be pretty incredible, right? I mean, Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, John 15:13, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, the difference here is that what Jesus is saying would have been done out of love. You know, if he's going to lay down his life for his friends, that's out of love. But what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 13:3, he's describing is the ultimate sacrifice with the wrong motive. It could be done out of pride. It could be done for you to want to others to recognize your legacy. It could be how you want it to go down in history. But there's one thing that's for sure, if it's not done for love, love for God and love for others, and in the love that you're expressing, if it's not done in that way, then that kind of love gains you absolutely nothing. I mean, every person who is an unbeliever outside of Christ, who has been martyred for their cause, did so in vain. Every soldier who died defending Rome, if it wasn't done out of a love for Christ, died in vain. Every Japanese pilot who died in World War II committing Harry Caray, where they would dive their plane into an aircraft carrier, died in vain. Every suicide bomber who has ever blown himself up has died in vain. None of these acts were done in love. Why? Because it wasn't done in loving God and in loving others. Don't you see? Without love, you are only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Without love, you are nothing. Without love, you gain nothing. All of these spiritual gifts have to be subordinated to love. Without love, they have no value. Why? Because love is superior to all spiritual gifts. Love is better than tongues. Love is better than prophecy. Love is better than knowledge. Love is better than miraculous faith. Love is better than extreme generosity. Love is better than the ultimate sacrifice. Listen to me, young man, this morning. Each one of these 7 things mentioned in verses 1-3 are legitimate spiritual gifts. And some of you possess some of these gifts. All of us together possess all of the permanent spiritual gifts, and some of these gifts have passed away, I believe, at the end of the first century. For example, 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. In other words, spiritual gifts are awesome, but they will one day pass away. But love? Love will never pass away. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Do you know why love will never pass away? Love will never pass away because love is not a spiritual gift. That's right. Love is not a spiritual gift. Love is something that God commands us to. Love is God demonstrating something to us that he wants us to possess forever. I mean, love is a grace. Love in Christ belongs to us all. And these spiritual gifts were given to point others to Jesus. right? That's what they're given for. The spiritual gifts are given for us to exercise in order to edify one another by pointing others to Christ. And so again, you have the spiritual gifts that were given miraculously to garner people's attention and to help them see the authenticity of the message of the gospel and the messenger. But these spiritual gifts are going to all pass away. But love will continue. Love, even when our spiritual gifts die out, love continues. Love will never die. Love is the greatest of all. And this is the kind of love that I want you to have, young man. I want you to have a biblical love. I want you to have an agape love. I want you to kind of have the kind of love that shares Christ and lives out Christ with everyone that you interact with. Don't be enamored with the spiritual gifts because they take a second seat to love. Let me pray for you that God would help us to understand that and apply that in our own lives. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to continue to examine the importance of understanding love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God, would you forgive us for sometimes being prideful or showy in how we try to love others? And may we make sure that everything that we do and that everything that we say is covered by the love of Christ for your glory and how we can best love our neighbor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.